God, may the words and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word, and may we never lightly presume to hear your word, for in your word is abundant life. Amen. As we began the service, I read to you John Wesley's directions for singing. He also offers advice on how to preach. 12 bits of advice, actually. Apparently, we need more help than you do. 1, always suit your subject to your audience. 2, do not preach more than twice a day during the week or 3 times on Sunday. 3, choose the plainest text from the Bible to preach on. 4, take care not to ramble from your text, but keep close to it. 5, be sure to begin and end at the time appointed. People imagine the longer a sermon is, the more good it will do. This is a grand mistake. The Methodist rule is to conclude the service within an hour. 6, speak justly, readily, clearly. Clearness in particular is necessary because we are to instruct people of the lowest understanding. Constantly use the most common, little, easy words which our language affords. 7, be aware of clownishness. Avoid all lightness, jesting, and foolish talking. Hey, I didn't laugh at you for number 6. Number 8, never scream. Never speak above the natural pitch of your voice. 9, take care to avoid anything awkward or affected in either your gesture or pronunciation. 10, don't just say, I read only the Bible, in order to preach. Read the most useful books, and that regularly and constantly, at least 5 hours in 24, or return to your trade. 11, there is no need to throw away old sermons just because they are old. The best can be reused. And number 12, never preach without doors when you can, with conveniency, preach within. So doing a quick count, 6 out of 12, as long as I don't scream. And I will strive to use common, short, and easy words with which the gospel should be achieved with comparable facility. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, yeast, a treasure hidden in a field, a pearl of great value, and even a net. So, suit your subject to the audience, he told us. Well, few of us here are probably farmers, but many of us like mustard, most like treasure, and I think we would all like to be in the kingdom of heaven. Preach the plainest texts. Use the simplest words. Mustard, treasure, pearl, net. Pretty simple. And to call them parables, they're so short that they're hardly aphorisms. So maybe we can get all of this done in the prescribed Methodist hour, especially if I take out any clownish juggling. How much room for interpretation can there really be? They're so short and simple. The kingdom of heaven is small, like a mustard seed. But like a tiny seed, it will grow and grow. Who's going to argue with that? Who would ever want another meaning? It's beautiful. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast in the dough. And you know how yeast and dough works, right? It lightens the dough with thousands of tiny pockets of carbon dioxide. As the heat goes up, the carbon dioxide expands, causing the dough to rise up. It's like the bread is being made to breathe. Warm breath, gift of life. That's what the kingdom of God is like. Who needs another meaning? It's perfect. What about treasure in a field? Something glorious, hidden in the muck. Something to be found that will change your life. Not changing that one. Or the great pearl. one thing that's worth giving up all the others. See that? Who doesn't love a good pearl? So the kingdom of heaven grows within me like the breath of God and a thing of great value that has changed my life and is worth everything that I have. We're done here. No other interpretation or thought required. I mean, not particularly dynamic, perhaps, but still. Just one thing. What's the kingdom of heaven again? Is it the end of, when the end of time comes and we all dance together on the other side of the pearly gates? Because I seem to recall Jesus said that the kingdom was at hand. So it must be here and now, or at least then and there, or could be here and now. Do you ever wonder about the kingdom of heaven? What was Jesus talking about? He was here to bring about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom is at hand. Now, I say this a lot. Allow me to say it again. The kingdom of heaven, the realm of God, is not a place. It's not a final destination. It's an ongoing relationship with God. The kingdom of heaven is what we experience when we are in relationship with God, when we're doing God's will, feeling valued and empowered by the divine that is all around us. The kingdom of God is happening all around us, little by little. It will be fully here when we fully, truly open our eyes, when we truly follow God's will and love one another fearlessly. And we don't have to wait for it. We can actually have it now. Get it? Got it? Good. See how I use simple, small words there? Wesley would be so pleased. And really, so there you go. And it doesn't change the parables. Then, now, or later, this kingdom of God is still something that grows within me, like the breath of God, a thing of great value that's changed my life and is worth everything I have. And so we're done. And we're going to get out in a Methodist hour. Except that I want to ramble just a little. Let me tell you about my backyard. It's not large, but it's big enough, covered in grass, or at least traditionally, it's covered in grass. But the last couple of years, I've got some bald spots, large ones. And I've tried aeration and overseeding, and I've tried sod and lots of water. And I've even been tempted to sort of grow the grass beside it really, really long and then comb it over the bald spot. But this year I decided to give up on the grass and try clover. $9 worth of seed poured out on the bald spots. And it worked. The bald spots filled in about 3 weeks. And then the clover began to grow more and more. And my backyard is all green. And about half of it is clover now. And I've got bunny rabbits in my backyard every day. And they love eating the clover. They're so happy just chewing away at the clover. And the vegetables in my garden, and the cucumbers, and the carrots, and pretty much everything I've got growing, they're eating. $9 worth of tiny seeds, and my backyard now looks like a travel brochure for Ireland. And my vegetable crop will never make it to my table. I wonder what the farmers thought when Jesus told them that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Tiny seed that becomes a tree that welcomes the birds. A tiny seed that becomes, well, a shelter for those birds that eat all of your crops. A tiny seed that becomes a plant that will overrun everything if you let it. Once you've planted mustard, you better plan on growing mustard. It's like mint. It's like clover. It just goes and goes. What about that lovely vision of bread coming to life with yeast, experiencing the warm breath of God? As a kid, I didn't know much about Jewish people, but when I was 12, my best friend was Jewish, and so I went to his bar mitzvah. I didn't really know much then, except that they ate funny bread. It was flat and plain and crunchy. It wasn't soft and doughy. And I was told that Jewish kids ate the same bread that I did most of the time, but for holy times, they ate matzah, unleavened bread, yeast-free. And as I grew older and had friends who kept kosher, I'd learn about unleavened bread, and it was a symbol from the escape from Egypt. It was Jewish. It was special and holy. So I wonder what the Jews thought when Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven was like adding yeast to bread, making it unfit for holy days. And you know that one about the treasure in the field? Did you notice that the one who found the treasure didn't actually own the field? Having found the treasure, this person went and bought the field. You mean, I sold you that field for $2,000 and there were millions of dollars in oil just under the surface? What kind of person are you? You didn't tell me that. I know that there's a treasure, but I'm not going to tell you. Just buy it from you and keep it for myself. I don't know how comforting these parables really are. I mean, they seem so nice and friendly and hopeful, but just like a little clover changed my backyard, a couple of observations kind of change these parables. And maybe that's the point. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's going to disrupt your carefully planned garden. It's going to infest and infect everything. Just like a real relationship with God infects and infests everything. I mean, one day, you've got it all figured out. Your life is ordered and set. You have friends who rely on you and those upon whom you can rely. And you have the church, and you've got World Vision and that lovely group that helps the poor. And there's a monthly direct withdrawal for your bank, and everybody gets what they need. And you live well, and people respect you. They even quietly admire the way you treat your neighbors and the rest of the world. You live in this beautiful garden that you've carefully cultivated over many years. And then the phone rings, or there's a knock on the door, or there's something in the paper, or a dear friend shares something with you. Whatever it is, you can't ignore it. You have to let it in, and it starts to make a mess of your order. You can feel in your bones what God is asking of you, but it's not in the plan. It doesn't belong in the garden. But you listen and you act. You respond to the kingdom of God and you help spread that kingdom in the world, and it's right and it's just and it's what you're meant to do, but it's made a complete mess of all of your plans. And it brings bunnies into your garden. But who doesn't love bunnies? The kingdom of heaven is like a measure of yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour. And you've always known what's right and what's wrong. You know who's in, who's out. You know what's holy and what's not. You know what's clean and what's dirty. I mean, you don't conform to a strict purity code like the people Jesus was talking to. You're probably not concerned with being kosher. But you know what's what. And then you meet somebody outside of the line, beyond the pale, and you recognize their humanity. You recognize the divinity. You recognize that God is with them too. And with time, you're eating with, working with, sitting at table with all sorts of people that your childhood lessons told you were bad. And it's different for each of us. Might depend on where and when you grew up or where you live now. I married a Roman Catholic. Absolutely unheard of in my grandparents' day. A lot of people in the Orange Lodge not happy about it. When the holy and the unholy begin to mix, suddenly all the colors are there. Muslims, Jews, Hindus, Sikhs, Buddhists, non-theists, and Christians in all of their various hues and tones are together. Male, female, gay, lesbian, heterosexual, transgender, non-binary, good guys, bad guys, liberals, conservative, NDP, all find themselves as equal, needing, deserving, and giving respect. Perhaps that's what the kingdom of God looks like. Not a day when we all become kosher or pure, but rather a day when we drop the walls and mix things up. Not make others more holy, but dare to let ourselves be less holy. Kind of mix the yeast in. I don't know. What I do know is that the kingdom of God is about change. And for some of us, that can be scary. If you own a field, you don't want people digging it up looking for treasure. It's my field. Stay out. If you have a garden, you don't want it infested with mustard. If you're preparing holy bread, you don't want anybody folding in yeast, thank you very much. But if you're poor and have spent most of your life looking over the fence at someone else's field, little change might be a good thing. If your life is a mess and you feel all alone, it might be nice to have others in the mess with you, because maybe together you could all make things better. If you've been left out of the holy people and made to feel like an outsider, a little change is probably overdue. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Once it's planted, you are not going to stop it. So maybe you and I should start getting ready for it and start inviting new folks to the table. Start relying not on the fields that we own, but on the treasures that we can actually share. Or maybe I should just have preached an old sermon and made Wesley smile. At least I didn't scream. And we've got a shot at getting out in the Wesleyan hour. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for the comfort and the challenge that comes when we truly listen to you, when we dare to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and take in what you offer. God, let us be challenged and inspired by these words this morning. Let us be challenged and inspired by you every day. And that together we might bring about your realm, the kingdom of heaven, a time and place where love matters the most. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.